Good evening, everyone. Everyone, my name is Gary Rockoff. I have the privilege of serving as community dean at Michigan University. I am coming in for a Vanessa Penner, who wants to teach me to get this evening as he is under the weather. Welcome to this event. It's a monumental achievement in the introduction of the Bata Yosef Classic Family Edition. We want to first and foremost welcome the entire Classic family here and on Zoom. Tonight's event is being recorded, and thank you so much for being here, and we'll acknowledge you more in the program in just a few moments. We have so many esteemed members of our community in the audience. Thank you all for being here, and we have an esteemed panel for tonight's program. I just wanted to acknowledge and sort of lay out what the program for tonight's going to be. First of all, you all see the Bata Yosef on the table. These are not for taking. They're not labeled yet for this farm sale. We'll talk about that as well at the end of the program, and everyone's welcome to shop. I will tell everyone that so far 1 week into the program of the farm sale, the top seller in the entire farm sale of over 6,000 sets and over 50,000 sforim is the Bata Yosef. So the proof is in the pudding, as they say. It's well-deserved. I know it's a project that has been conceived of already for a number of years to capture the halachic rulings of the salvation sets out. And we have a privilege tonight, first to hear from our esteemed Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Shechter. Many of Rosh Shechter's Pisti Halacha appear in these volumes. After Rosh Shechter, we'll hear from Daniel Feldman, who wears a number of hats here at the Yeshiva, including the senior editor of the Reads Press. I'll encourage everyone on that note to take a look at the far left table. Reads Press has produced many volumes over the years, and you can take a look at this farm there and purchase them at this farm sale downstairs. We'll also have the privilege of hearing from the Talmudist, Rabbi Josh Fluke, who have been instrumental in producing these volumes, and they will share some Torah from this volume. Volume 1 begins with Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot, and Purim, and Hanukkah, or I should say Hanukkah and Purim edition will be out shortly. We'll hear some highlights from the edition. So without further ado, we will conclude the program with some remarks from Mr. George Karasik, and we look forward to hearing the remarks. And thank you so much, all again, for being here. It's an honor to ask Rosh Shechter to please share his words with us.
My understanding is that the Jesus is a combination of people, which is established. The other machine was a fly with the name of another machine. So this yeshiva was originally founded by the merchants on the lower east side. They gave their nickels and their quarters and their dollars to make the yeshiva to carry over the tradition of Balojas. We had the fortune having before I was born. First, the celebration was here, and at the end, the Shabbat celebration was celebrated. Rachel said, we had so many Hanhogas. Many of the Hanhogas were from the Halajim, many were from his family, from both grandfathers, many from other Gedolim. A lot of times he would say what his practice is, and you have to say that this was an old tradition for Halajim. Interesting. I remember when we learned of the Hanukkah, that's a ancient thought that it's not proper the practice that the married couples have, that the wife doesn't light their own menorah. He said that the more correct is the Mahadim, everyone should light their own menorah, even if a woman is married. He didn't say where he got this from. So he thought that he invented his own meaning. So years later, after that's away, after Moshe Banshan passed away, one of the grandchildren of Rav Moshe printed this Hanukkah We go, this was the Hanhagen Balajan. They're not sure whether the Elisha said it was from a Prime Balajan or from Balajan reaching the death. They didn't know. He said, this was the Hanhagen Balajan. And when he got married, the Moshe got married, he wanted his wife to die in Ramadan. Yeah? She didn't want her because in her family, they didn't have that name. So Moshe was an easygoing person. So he didn't pressure as much. He didn't want her. She felt uncomfortable. She didn't. But this was the Hanhagen that so she had from. Baloshin, many of his Hanhagas were from Baloshin. He didn't always explain where he got the Hanhagas from. So I think it's very precious that we should preserve all of the traditions from Baloshin and all the traditions from the Salvation family. And there is Israel, they keep on printing things from the Bible of Salvation. They just said someone killed me in the Shpacha magazine. They found a photograph of the Bible of Salvation. In order to have a marriage license, you had to take the photograph. So this character who wrote a whole bunch of books about our novella, he went especially to Eastern Europe. He paid a bit of a fortune to get this photograph that was available. Picture of our novella sandwich. But we have such precious anhagas from the sandwich you can't be here in America. It's a tremendous mitzvah that you did all the work and you wrote all the things that you should do. You could write all anhagas. The many years to come, should all be looking to learn all of these. That's my whole
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thanks so much to all of you for being here tonight. A very special night in the history of the Yeshiva and the history of our publications. You know that these weeks, Yisrael and Mishpatim, we're reading about the giving of the Torah and the whole notion that starts off our tradition and that we are obligated and honored with the carrying on of that Mesorah throughout the generation. And here in our yeshiva, as we alluded to, so we have a very strong sense of Mesorah and the salvation that Tzadik Lavracha represented that Mesorah and represented also the giving of the Torah. And as we often said, salvation can cheer on Tuesday and Wednesday. Was Monday and Thursday Kriya Satorah, Tuesday and Wednesday Kabbalah Satorah. The idea of B'chol Yom Yuvei Nacha Kehadoshim, which should be an ongoing experience of connecting to the Torah and receiving the Torah and passing that on, the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, who were privileged to sit in the Shiru, were able to experience that in a very real way and were able to transmit that to their families and to their students as well. And we are very honored here to have had the opportunity to try to capture that in some sense, to try to have some format of that that can be read and that can be shared and that can be passed on. And through the gracious sponsorship of the Karasik family, and we are so grateful to have the sponsorship, but also to have so many of them participating here physically and virtually, to carry on the tradition of Rabbi Joseph and Pepa Karasik, who were themselves so committed to protecting the Mesorah of the Jewish people, Mesorah in practice and Mesorah in learning, and making sure that that was safeguarded and that was passed on to the future generation. And what more appropriate sponsor for a project such as this, which is designed to make sure that the essence of that Mesorah, that the Torah itself, as taught by Rav Soloveitchik and as taught by his students, and as translated into practice, to say, the highest form of Talmud Torah, la suke shmaisa, aliva dehokasa, to be able to translate it into something that we actually put into effect in our daily lives and to recognize not only what to do, but what it means and how to connect to its foundational principles. All of that was conveyed to Rav Soloveitchik's Talmidim by their great Rebbe, and his great Talmidim have labored to make sure that their Talmidim, and now at this point, their Talmidim, and their Talmidim, are able to appreciate that. So this project that the Karasics were so crucial in formulating and sponsoring and in bringing about to the world, entitled Bate Yosef, and the idea is to bring to the reading public what that tradition means and how the translation of halakhic values into actionable principles and principles that reflect the values themselves in action was able to be understood and transmitted. And therefore, the Sefer is broken up into a number of sections. The first section, called Bate Yosef,
is based on the Shiurim and the Halakhic rulings of her salvation herself. There are selections at the top from the Shulchan Aruch, which were relevant to the salvation he was addressing through his lectures, and enables us to see how those principles are elucidated, not only translated into practice, but also explained at their core, made into fundamental principles by Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim. And that section was primarily edited by Michael Kalvitz, who did a beautiful job of being able to incorporate his own experience and his own direct connection to the Soloveitchik's Torah, together with a wide sweep of all that has been written. Much of what has been written, he was already a part of, so much has been written by others. He was able to harmonize all of that and to create a beautiful flow of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah on these sections of Halacha. And that's the first section that we have, a section that's called Bate Yosef. Following that, there's a section that's called the Bei Midrasha, and that is designed to bring to our Kihilos, to bring to our constituency, the Piske Halacha of the contemporary Rashi Yeshiva, who are themselves the great Talmidim, Rav Soloveitchik, and to feel the burden and the honor of passing on that tradition in the most faithful sense and translating that into the practical issues of today. And primarily, Mareinu Harav Shechter Shlita, who's here tonight, and Mareinu Harav Wolich Shlita, who's not able to be here tonight, but who's well represented in many ways. And of course, many of our other Rashi Yeshiva as well are represented in that section, Bate Yosef. And so much of that was put together so ably by the supremely capable Rabbi Joshua Flug, who's also here tonight and will discuss some samples from that section. And then to round it out, we also have essays in the back, longer discussions from many of our Rashi Yeshiva, which go into greater depth and go into much greater length and detail about some of these topics. And together, the volume is able, hopefully, to bring all of that experience into one arable unit and to share that with the reading public. We felt that there was no better place to start than with Tishrei, with El Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur. It's all of the year that is enhanced by Rosh Soloveitchik's teaching, but it felt perhaps most strongly through the Yom Noroyim. So much has been written, so much has been brought already to the public about the Yom Noroyim. The Torah has been published, the Shiurim that have been so widely spread, but everyone has had that experience of having their Rosh Hashanah and their Yom Kippur transformed by the messages that Rosh Soloveitchik brought. So we thought there was perhaps no more appropriate place to start than with a volume dealing with Elul and Tishrei, going through these Moadim, going through these Yom Tovim, and helping to understand how the practices of these days, and also how the Kilos and the song, and we also have the texts and the scrolls that are relevant, so that can also be a part of the davening experience, and that can help to contribute to how we are living these days through the illumination of these wonderful Shiurim and the Yesodos that come out from them. So those volumes are available. That's what you see on the table tonight. That's what you see downstairs. And God willing, in very short order, which should be available very, very soon, perhaps by the end of the sale, it's already in process, are the upcoming volume on Hanukkah and Purim. And those of you who came here tonight will get a sneak preview of some of that content from Rabbi Talbis and Rabbi Flug. And that as well brings a new level of appropriateness to these volumes, because Hanukkah and Purim are the rabbinic Yom Tovim. These are the days that were instituted by the rabbis, and that gives a special opportunity to understand the mind of Chazal, and who better to explore that than the Soloveitchik, and who better to illuminate our experiences on these days than the Soloveitchik Shiurim, and a special honor to be able to bring that to print as well. And these are times which are connected with the notion of the Shemei Niso, of publicizing the miracle. And what better way to publicize a miracle than trying to make it understood on the deepest level to the broadest possible public? And we hope that that Sefer will indeed itself be a fulfillment of Pirshumei Nisa and Rosh Soloveitchik. The Shiurim would say that the purpose of Pirshumei Nisa, the reason we are obligated to publicize the miracles, is a form of tefillah. It's a way of saying that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue giving us miracles, continue showering us with His grace, and it's our hope that in doing so, publicizing the miracle through the Torah of the miracles, through the Torah of salvation to students, that will itself be taken as a tefillah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to allow us to continue doing so, to allow us to continue seeing this influence and seeing this illumination in our lives, and that should be our bracha. So we are tremendously grateful to the Karasik family, we're grateful to the Feldman family that's here tonight to help sponsor this first volume as well, and we recognize that we are given a tremendous opportunity to bring this to the public, gave the title Bate Yosef because of multiple meanings. Bate Yosef, of course, is the name that is familiar to every student of Halacha, the commentary that the author of Shulchan Aruch wrote to the Torah, where he summarizes the view of the Rishonim and where he analyzes them. That's a name automatically associates itself with the serious study of Halacha. But the idea of Bate Yosef, in addition to connecting that, references, of course, the salvation, references of the Yosef Karasik, references the Rebbe, and also in the sense of Beisos Harishto, and it references the fact that all of us are living in their homes. All of us are residing in the batim that have been built and that have been elevated to great heights through their teaching and through their devotion and through their commitment. And we hope that we will continue to see great bracha from this commitment. This is a multi-year project already, many volumes ahead. We're so fortunate and so grateful to be given the privilege of bringing this to life. And we look forward to so much more. We thank you all for family. And now we'll have the opportunity to get a little bit of a sample, a little bit of a taste of what's actually in this upcoming volume, starting with the way Michael Cavis.
Thank you very much. Rishus Maharabi Aradam Shet, to see the prominent colleagues in this project, Flur, Feldman, plus other distinguished Rabbanim, the band that are here, Amidim and others that are here, of course, the Gassic family. Begin by pointing out that to me it's a tremendous source and tremendous personal covet to be invited to participate in this project. Designed to promulgate, to further promulgate the Torah of Moreno Rabbeinu, Hagaon HaAdar, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Baruch Hu, the Rav Letzal, to further share this Torah, the Mishnah Torah, and insights with the broader public. I'm humbled by being asked to be involved to write up some of the Torah, the Rav, stating at the outset that I don't consider myself really capable of fully, entirely capturing the genius of the Rav, the eloquence of the Rav, the deep perception of the Rav, but I'm hopeful that together with the work of my colleagues here, that we're successful to some extent to further popularize and further promulgate some of the Rav's Tivrei Torah, Kedushei Torah, Oros, and the Yom Tovim, which we'll mention the first line in front of you on the Shem Kippur Sukkot, when it's coming out shortly on Kanim and Purim. There's Hashem. It's also a great pleasure to be able to participate in a project that's being sponsored by the Karasik family, whom I have a relationship going back many, many years, actually until before my bar mitzvah, which is a little over 50 years ago, we lived at that. And Rabbi Mark and Linda Karasik, like 20 years from Zoom residence in Florida, they lived downstairs, we lived upstairs in a two family house, and only performed my bar mitzvah. Other members of the family over the years. I remember Rabbi Karasik himself, I remember, but I still remember coming very simple and so on. But it's a great privilege to be associated with this family and to support the project, the Anfor and Kali Sur. I just to say a few words about Purim, since we 30 days in which Shoshin Yom, the holiday of Purim. Just share with you what his thoughts that they all expressed related to one aspect of Purim. All of us are familiar with the fact that the mitzvah, Mikra Megillah on Purim, and it's something to fulfill twice during the course of Purim. Read the Purim, read the Megillah on Purim night, the Purim, get the merit. Then we read the Megillah again during the day, or during the morning, time to Shabbos. And the Chorah, these are two different obligations which are related, not to Hakeh, which are how did you have to read it twice so you get zero credit? Say, it's not like the four Parshas in the Tzum, not like the four Medinim that take on Sukkot, but there are two mitzvahs, mitzvah to read the Megillah at night, mitzvah to read the Megillah during the day. The action of the mitzvah is the same. The text of the mitzvah, the mitzvah is the same. The brachas the Ashkenazic practice of the same, to say the Bracha Malchut Megillah and Shosh and Shachriyana both at night and during the day. Sporadic practice, not to say the Bracha Shemana during the day, we'll come back to that point. But it's more or less the exact same mitzvah. Well, it's interesting because it could be that this mitzvah really two different aspects of the mitzvah, not necessarily presented at the same time historically. The mitzvah of Megillah, based on the Sukkot of Megillah, it seems to be a mitzvah applied during the day of Purim. All the mitzvahs that we observe on Purim, Sukkot Purim, Shach, Manas on Purim, Amsadana on Purim, are mitzvahs that we perform during the day of Purim. Our books are posted toward the end of the Megillah Sesef, Ninth Park. It says, Ayamim Ha'ilim Yisqarim Nasim. One understands one interpretation that the phrase is that it refers to Kriyas Megillah during the day. Ayamim Ha'ilim, it's in the plural, because there are really 2 days of Purim between where you live. We observe Purim on the 14th of Adar. And in the city of the wolves, the day of Yeshua, observe what we call Shushan from the 15th, so it's a Yom HaYom during the day. Or it says explicitly that if a person eats the Sudah, eats a Sudah at night, Purim night, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah Sudah's Purim. You can eat as much as you like. Have a fine Sudah. No Mitzvah to have it's not a key of the Mitzvah Sudah's Purim. You don't know what to say about that too. But it's fine. I think that the Mitzvah of the Purim are performed during the course of the day. What's with the night Megillah reading? It looks like the Mishnah probably wasn't even aware of this practice. It might have been a later practice. The Gemara says on Daf Daled that the Shulman Levi, the one who said that the mitzvah to read the Megillah mitzvah, read the Megillah once at night and read it a second time during the day. Shulman Levi, the first generation Amoran, kind of borderline between the Tanaim and Amoran. That's the first reference that we have, not mistaken, the mitzvah Nikah Megillah during the day. The Mishnah, there's a Mishnah later in the Sefer Megillah, which lists various mitzvahs that one performs, not just the Sefer, but various mitzvahs we perform during the day. For example, it talks about Kibbutz, Sukkot, Kishofer, Shana, and Halal on the day you say Halal. Mishnah indicates that these mitzvahs are performed during the day. They can be performed, technically speaking, any time during the course of the day. Mikkah Megillah is on that list. Then the Mishnah also says certain mitzvahs that are performed at night can perform them any time during the night. Mikkah Megillah is not on that list. It could be that the tradition was not really familiar. Maybe the practice came later. Maybe it was the days of Shulman Levi when that practice started. Some of the opponent mentioned that whereas the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah on Purim day is full of mitzvah of Nidirei Kabbalah. Kabbalah in a sense doesn't mean in Kabbalistic or mystical. It means from the Kabbim. Time that Mikra says, of course, it's in the Tanakh. Not from the Torah, but it's in the Tanakh. So it's a mitzvah of Nidirei Kabbalah. That's the daytime reading, the principal reading. But the reading at night was a later Tanakh. Perhaps there's certain differences which can discuss at a different time. What's the idea? So why do we talk it? Why would this practice develop? Why would they institute it in the middle of night? When we look at that phrase, we don't point it out. We look at that phrase, it's somewhat of an unusual phrase. It's mitzvah, the Mikra Megillah, the close of Alal of the Shanosa Bayom. The funny expression, the Shanosa. What does it mean exactly, the Shanosa Bayom? To read the second time of the day. You expect the Gemara to say, the Mishnah Levi said, you should read the Megillah at night. The Begam Bayom. Something like that. What's its language with the Shanosis? It means the second time. The other expression, second time, implies the link. It's not just another time, but it's a second. The second following the first. There's some sort of relationship between the two. Rav said further, the word Lashanosa sometimes has the implication of studying and teaching. Shinantam Lubanecha. Shinantam Lubanecha means you should teach. Lashanosa means you have to learn. It's not just to read the Megillah, but the mitzvah to understand, but to read the Megillah with a deep understanding. In fact, the Gemara has the first thought that maybe the mitzvah of Lashanosa they all, like that during the day you're supposed to learn Mishnayos, it's not reading of Purim. But Lashanosa has the implication of learning and understanding at a deep level. The Rav suggested that maybe as follows, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah at night, that's really a mitzvah just of Kriyas HaMegillah to infect, refresh our memory. We all know the story, but we haven't thought about it so much since last year. Certainly haven't read it most of the time. Yes, you don't accept it. Of course, you assess it. But other than that, you haven't read the Megillah since last year. So at night, you read the Megillah to refresh your memory. Again, we know the story, but to refresh your memory of some of the details. That will enable you, during the day on Purim, with Shanosa, to read it with deeper understanding, with deeper Havana, with deeper insight, with greater Amkus, the Mitzvah, to read the Megillah. If you look into it, to read between the lines, and looking to see more. The Rav suggested that's why the expression is Yudhu Shanosa, the second time, it's the second, it depends on the first. The first is, so to speak, the warm-up. The Zal Institute, the reading we did at night, so that during the day when you read it, it's not just reading, you read the story, but you have to learn it, to delve into understanding. During the day, you're off again and refresh your memory. Last night, since last night, you probably didn't forget. So now you have an opportunity to look at it with greater detail, with greater understanding. Rav suggested that may be why discussion I mentioned before, that touring really is over the course of 2 days, depending on where you live. What if a person travels? What if a person is here and he goes to another place in Eretz Yisrael? So, you know, she and I attended was outside of Yerushalayim. So you have to observe Purim, 14th of Adar. Why not have 2 days of Purim? Go into Yerushalayim. Have a good time the second day as well. I don't recall Shushan Purim. Many people do that. But if you're travelers now, when do you have, when is the admission to the middle? When do you have to go about where you are, where you come from, where you're going? What does it depend on? So the Gemara presents, that's how any assume halacha, that it depends on where you're going to be on the morning of the 14th of Adar. That's the Koleya. That's what determines when your obligation, where are you going to be the morning of the 14th of Adar? So if you're in the city that reads on the 14th, that's where you are in the morning, that's when you have to read it, and you'll have to read it again on the 15th. So the whole Kobea is where you are in the morning. Why isn't the Kobea where you are at night? So I suggest, because the eager reading is the day. That's the principal obligation. You can begin it. You can begin it during the daytime. So the Kobea that determines when your obligation is where you're going to be the morning of the 14th. And that will impact in the week the night before as well. I mean, it depends on the morning. Further, the Rav suggested that may be the reason why the practice of the Ashkenaz is that we repeat the Shechayanu during the course of the day. Usually we say Shechayanu while performing the mitzvah that we haven't performed in a while. We say Shechayanu, haven't done it with Zechanakim. We say Shechayanu for the first night of Chanukah. That's it. We don't say it because it's in Chutz Laretz when there's a Yantar. So we say Shechayanu the second night too, because it's the second night of Pesach. We say Shechayanu again, because the Shechayanu is the second night of the replication of the first night outside of Eretz Yisrael. Usually, we don't say Shechayanu unless it's a mitzvah we haven't done in a long while. So the practice of the Rambam quotes in the other Shana, we didn't have to try this practice before the Shulchan for this day. We said Shechayanu on reading the Megillah at night. It's a Monday night. We're going to read the Megillah. Okay, we're going to read the Megillah during the day, but we don't have to say Shechayanu. We have to say on the Megillah. Say Hashem Achshavos Amitzim, but you don't have to repeat the Shechayon. He said Shechayon just last night. Why should you have to repeat it? We assume that the daytime reading is in a sense a different quality, a different type of mitzvah. Same accuracy. The purpose is to understand it in greater depth, delve into greater depth. The different mitzvah, so perhaps that's the reason why it gets its own Shechayon. The other are more recommended to Shechayon in mind. You know, you'd be able to say the other Shechayon will cover the other mitzvahs in the day as well. Sudas Purim and Shechayonis. So the only point that I'm suggesting that the mitzvah of Shanos Habayom, not just to read it during the day, delve into it, greater understanding, that's a new mitzvah, so to speak, so it deserves a new Shechayon. With that, there's an implication, it's fine, also, there's an implication, also, implication that you don't say Alanisim in the davening at Myra for a night. Don't say Alanisim. It's not our practice, we do say Alanisim at night as well. The closest stresses and says we say it in the morning. You don't say we say it in the practice. It could be in the practice and not to say it was a practice. Maybe it was some help. You don't say Alanis in the night. Why not? We always begin the holiday the night before, whatever you have to say. Let's say Yabba, whatever other is. I can say the Alanis in the night before. Why would you not have to say Alanis in the night before? That could be standing closest. Why would you not have to say Alanis in the night before? So again, the real point is really the date. The whole Purim, all the mitzvahs are important. At night, okay. So again, as I said before, we want to have a meal, we want to manifest the descendant, okay. But it's not really Purim in a certain sense. So we need to develop further. We don't have time to go into now. But that comes to explain that practice, not to say, at least in the night of Purim, but the real Purim of the day. That's the picture. All the other mitzvahs are there, and even the mitzvah of the day have a different quality. Well, I've also noted that the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Gemara on that same path quotes actually. So, okay. Where did they get this from? Where did Yeshua and Levi dream this stuff out of? Why did he say you have to read it at night? You have to read a nice beer. Explain, you should read it at night just to refresh your memory. Where does it come from? It's a quote of Pasuk. A crow of Kimyom on the Lyle of the Lyle. So the question explained, the Pasuk related to Tefillah. We call out to Kodesh Baruch Hu both during the day and at night. Call out to cry out to Salvin to Kodesh Baruch Hu both during the day and during the night. That's what the Gemara seems to suggest. It's one source of the mitzvah of this idea. Yeshua and Levi. To read the Megillah both at night and during the day. All after comes off both at night and during the day. I'll explain the idea is that tefillah, davening, one of many kiyumim, because tefillah is a key of tefillah. So one of the ideas of tefillah, the Gemara says in Brachos, on the days, that tefillah has to constantly be renewed, always be chizuk. Brachos, the pasuk, kavod Hashem, chazek, davening, tefillah, kavod Hashem, Kaveh, and then again Kaveh. More mentioned certain things that need ongoing chizuk, ongoing encouragement. One of the things is tefillah. The tefillah we've done in several parts of the day. But the tefillah is something that's ongoing in participation, ongoing activity. So if you hold the Mikra Megillah as a key in the tefillah as well, that's another explanation that I've suggested why the Mikra Megillah is a plus it said, key meant to go to the Homa, the Lila will do me a leave both during night and during day. It's interesting. More than quotes another pasuk, but won't explain this because it's something else. More quotes a second pasuk. Man is a man from Cholol. You don't show a Kaila Olam Odeka. Olam means water pot. Odeka means the thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Olam, thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Another key of Mikra Megillah is a key of Halal. Mark points out, we don't say Halal on Purim. All the other holidays we say Halal, we don't say Halal on Purim. We don't give a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that the reading of the Megillah, so to speak, substitutes Halal. But the reading of the Megillah is also a form of Halal, also comes from Tzumim, and also constitutes a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the whole of it. Always have to come during the day, praise him during the night, also praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. We don't even say Halal at night. We'll face up to the exception. Not only that, I'm simply upset that the question that I wish. But in any event, they're always saying that they need to be. This pasuk is a key of Halal, so the possibly referring to Halal. But that's also one of the themes, so to speak, of Mikra Megillah. Just to end off, you could argue, and I'll say a different one, you could argue that in second, how do those two themes coexist? Crying out, like Kol Elokim, the crying, that's a time they say, crying out in trouble. Jewish people were in trouble. Crying out, crying out in trouble. How does that match with praising and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's no simcha. Shiva and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not even no simcha. How can those two things coexist? You know, I said, even Machlokes, Tukshikim quoted in that Gemara, trying to figure out what's the Iker. Iker is crying out, or the Iker, or where is the Iker, the Aleph, the Iker, the thanks. We suggested, part of the different Shiva, was that Purim, we have Tainasester before Purim. Tainasester, we know, will not really correspond to the Esther itself and the Jewish people in Shushan to undertook that time because it's not the same time of year. 13th of Adar, which we have time Esther and received on Monday, that's the 13th of Adar is not the day that the Jewish people, Esther and some of the Sumerite officials, or Dopa teacher, Shosh, Tom, Lava, you know, that wasn't the 13th of Adar. In one sense, it was actually based up the years, the dates rather. So, what do we have time Esther for? Some say it in Jerusalem. 13th of Adar, when all the Jews were all southwest and wiped out, but then the fast day was a sign of Tzvila, and they were victorious. Tzvila's work. The Rav suggested that Pinus Esther and Purim are really going hand in hand. It's not just so happened that Pinus Esther, now we have Purim. But Chazal and Minig Yisrael, two versions of Rambam, we have analyzed as well, that Pinus Esther and Purim sort of heads in the middle, in a way, the same coin. On Pinus Esther, so that's when we cry out. We fulfill this requirement to speak to the Echo of Kings calling out to the Baruch Hu. On Purim, we emphasize the Odo. The two things are really part and parcel of the same thing. That's why our practice, I think I've said that too, that's why our practice is that on Tainus Esther, unless the person is not well, the doctor don't eat until after the healing. There are other reasons for that too, but we wait for Tainus Esther to see the month of Tainus Esther on Thursday, not the Sunday, a different story. But it's in a year like this, when Purim is Tainus Esther on Monday, we're not going to break the fast, unless it's not so, we're not going to break the fast until after the healing Esther. The assessor, so to speak, is attached a certain way to kind of assess it. The kind of assess and the healer are reflecting these two aspects. The aspect of pouring out the Baruch Hu, the aspect of thanking the first Baruch Hu. It's a kindness, showing a lot of emotion, the kind of assess is a kindness of simcha. A different type of fasting. That's why we're allowed to have it on Thursday. And ordinarily, we don't get a fast earlier than we're supposed to. All the time, we have, let's say, Tisha B'Av lands on Shabbos, and she says, Thomas, or Thomas, we push off the Sunday. We find the principle, ever. Mocked in Toronto, they say things and make it earlier than they absolutely have to. They want to do it all together. It's the way they want to do it. All of a sudden, by necessity, we don't follow the rule. Make it earlier. Why do we make it earlier? Because it's a different type of time. Because the fact that they are spoken as a financial symptom, because our seal is born to Shem against it. That's what the Rav developed. So these are just some insights to preview. If you want to hear more about the upset of that point, encourage you when the volume comes out, the first of the volume, to look into it. And we invite people who have maybe heard other things from the Bible over the years. I saw no claim to have found everything. The wealth of the field, the wealth of mine on his gathering, all the falling fountain. Everything he saw, the Chiddush, it's not really anything that said that we, that we probably didn't find. So over the years of looking through these lines, and here, everybody else finds something of interest, please share it with us. Thank you very much.
I primarily worked on the second half of the Sefer Mevim Mishloach Torah, which focuses on Yerum and Pisgei Halacha, so Rabbeinu Kol Shechter and Frulik, Rishus Rabbanim. I don't feel for Halacha B'nei Rabo to say, oh, versus Rabbeinu Kol Shechter, right here. So I'm going to tell it as a story, and a lot of the ideas will come about. So this is Erev Purim, Tavshin Pei, 2020. So those who remember that the lockdown, or whatever we're going to call it, in isolation, all took place right after Purim. But that Purim, there were many people who were already in isolation. They had to stay in their houses. And they didn't have access to a Megillah. So I got a few phone calls within about a half hour of each other. One for a sign, others. We need to stream the Megillah reading. What's better, Zoom or YouTube? So the question was, and I'll give you the background here. So we generally don't use microphones for Mikra Megillah. It's common practice that you get a Bar Kori with a nice strong voice, he reads it, we don't need a microphone. But there's somewhat of a discussion about it, and the discussion starts with a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah is talking about someone who blows shofar into a pit. Somebody blows shofar into a pit, and the Mishnah says that if you hear the call of the shofar, if you hear the actual sound of the shofar, your yotze, and if you hear the call of hapora, if you hear the echo that comes out of the pit, then you're not yotze. So what's the difference between call shofar and call hapora? So Shlomo Zalman and Michal Shlomo Elagal Simon Tess has a long tshuva about this, and he says quite simply the difference is that it's the difference between hearing the actual sound and hearing the replication of the sound. So right now, I'm talking into the microphone, but you're not actually hearing my voice. It's coming out of there, right? And this is a wireless microphone. So first, the microphone is turning it into a radio signal, sending it to a box down there. It's converting into something else. So it's going through a lot of different changes. And so you're not actually hearing my voice. It might sound like me, but it's actually the speaker that's making the sound. So Shlomo Zalman says, anytime you use any type of an amplification system, so it's a complete change. And that's the difference between the kol shofar and the kol havara. That if you hear the actual voice, if I stand over here, everyone hears my voice, and even though there's a little bit coming out of the speaker, you can hear it from me. But if I'm talking through an amplification system, you're not hearing me, you're hearing the speaker. And for that reason, he felt that shofar, there's Megillah, anything done out of a microphone is not considered real shmia. You're not hearing it, and so you're not yotzei mikra Megillah if you hear it through a microphone. And others are Moshe Feinstein and some Zalman quotes from the Chazon Ish, that it could be that the difference between kol shofar and kol havara is that kol shofar is the actual sound. Kol havara is like a weaker sound or kind of like a blurry sound. But if you have a microphone, which is a stronger sound than the actual voice, then maybe that would be okay. Now, they didn't say this definitively. They said, it's possible. Moshe said it's possible. Okay. So now we're left with a situation where people have a choice. Either they don't have a Megillah, so it's either nothing or it's this. So Shechter issued a psak that since it's a shas l'chak, we have a principle, Gedai, Rimploni, Lisma Kolev, Shas l'chak, at least for Dinim Durabonon, that we can rely on a minority opinion. And so with no other choice, That's what people did. Now, the question that was posed to me was, well, what's the most similar thing to a microphone? So they asked me the best thing would be a telephone call. Now, why did they want to do a telephone call? Because you have to, like, we're in a post-COVID mindset. Okay, so before Zoom, there were conference calls. And we all know that there are all these conference calls, and one person forgets to hit mute, so you hear that person, and you're not going to hear the Balkori reading Megillah, so he's going to cause problems. And what was the problem with Zoom? The problem with Zoom was at that point, nobody knew what it was. I knew what it was, but I'm saying it wasn't very popular. Tell people they were all going to go on this thing called Zoom. And I don't even think anyone realized that you have the same problem with people forgetting to mute themselves. So that was found out later. So then the question was, if you stream it online, so how much is considered live? So you could have, theoretically, your internet connection is poor. You could have a situation where it's called latency. So the Baal Kori is reading, and you're listening, and over time, like, your internet's not picking it up as quickly, so you'll see it, like, you know, it's spinning or browsing, and maybe by the time you get to, you're listening to Perek Tes, the Baal Kori is already home eating the breakfast. You know, so how much latency is there? Can it really be such a significant delay, or are we talking about, like, a few seconds? So, I think, and my Stein consultant, Schechter, we felt that the delay was not significant enough to cause that much of a problem. And I think that first year, it was streamed over YouTube as opposed to Zoom. Fast forward a year, the next year, people were going to shul, but there were a lot of people who either weren't going to shul or there was a need to have multiple minyanim. And so here's where this shita of streaming the Megillah kind of gets put to the test. Meaning in 2020, there was no choice. It was either that or nothing. And I even, like, brought up, in discussing 2020, I said, I bet you we can get like 100 Bali Kriya who would be willing to go and people's houses, read outside people's houses. And it's too hard to organize. But by the next year, there were people willing to read for others. And you also had, you had plenty of time to think about it. So there was an option that was suggested to, let's say you don't know how to read a Megillah, but you have a Megillah. So you can take your Megillah and have a recording of the Megillah, and you read, and it'll have to be slow. You know, do it like the Bala Kriya, 20-minute Megillah reading. It have to be like an hour or an hour and a half Megillah reading. You play it slowly, and you read along with the Baal Kori, word for word, and you have your own Megillah. And there are plenty of Megillahs out there, meaning that a lot of people are going to shul. There are plenty of Megillahs to spare, and that should be an adequate solution. But, you know, it doesn't that doesn't work for everybody. So the question was whether to fly on this Zoom again, or to maybe have multiple minyanim. And so Rav Schechter wrote a tshuva about the following, fitting two options, one against the other. One option is to have multiple minyanim, where one of the minyanim would have to start after Shkias Hachama, before Tzeis HaKetavim. Well, the alternative is to have them listen over a video. That year would have been over Zoom by then. So Schechter pointed out, it's something our metabolist mentioned, that at night, it could be totally on whether eating at night is Dibbe Kabbalah or a Dinger Rabbanan, meaning between Shkia and Tzeis HaKetavim is Sveika D'Yoma, and Sveika D'Yoma, we would treat L'Chumra, if we treated Dibre Kabbalah like Dibre Torah. So this is the night reading. A lot of folks can hold that the night reading is not Dibre Kabbalah. And you know, Shechter, we have this in the Sefer as well. Let's point out the Rashi and Tainus, which might be Rashi, that it could be Mikra Megillah as a whole, might not be Divrei Kabbalah, because Rashi there says that Divrei Kabbalah means that the Pasuk itself in the Navi is Mitzvah U'Mazir, that it tells that the Pasuk says exactly what to do. So it says, Mishloach Manos Isharei, the Pasuk prepares, it says to give Mishloach Manos. Whereas Mikra Megillah is no prepares, no explicit Tzivui. It's just that the source is Hayamim Eileh Nizkarim V'Nasim. So we kind of intuit it. We learn it out from a drasha, so to say. But it's not explicit in the pasuk. So given all that, the option, even though it's definitely better in a normal situation not to rely on any leading opinions and read before it says a problem, but if your question is whether to read before it says a problem or to listen over Zoom after it says a problem, Rav Shechter said that the better option is to listen to it before Shia live rather than over Zoom. So we have this option of listening over a microphone over Zoom, but it's really reserved for Shas Hatzach situations. And even in Shas Hatzach situations, we try to find solutions such as, getting it on the Megillah, listening to recording, to try to avoid these personal situations. So it was a real zechus to work on this project. I learned a lot personally from a lot of Torah from working on all this, and thank everyone who contributed, and I hope we can be able to produce many more volumes in the future.
So much for the wonderful information. It's a pleasure to ask you to get the grasp of the solutions for the next one. Thank you. This is a Jeffrey Schleter for the Stein, for the other LeBain, who is here. I share with my family. Wonderful to share this with them. And my brother, who is in Florida. He was very much a moving force behind this, and we all thank him. Shortly after the Tetzira of our father, we met with Rabbi Berman and with Rabbi Penner, had an idea to honor the memory of our parents, having to do with Reeves and with Yeshiva. And they got back to us a short time later, offering us this novel idea to come up with these svarim, which would outline the Torah of the Rav and the Hakadosh of the Rav, combining it with Piskei Halakha of the current Rosh Yeshivas of YU and the Torah of YU. And they were very excited about it, and it was contagious. We also got very excited about it. After meeting, our family decided that this was a project that we wanted to pursue on many levels, which I'll get to in a moment. And we would like to thank Rabbi Taubes, Rabbi Fluke, Rabbi Feldman. I'd also like to acknowledge Nachum and Rima Feldman participating. And for us, this was something which was very exciting. And particularly because of the relationship between our family and my father, with the Rav, the family of Rav. Using the Rav's jargon, my father had a unique relationship with the Rav. He was not his greatest Talmud. Shechter was his greatest Talmud. He was not closest to the Rav. People lived in Boston. They were closer. But my father had a very unique relationship with him. I guess to use a Yiddish term, they had a sprach. The Rav felt comfortable in talking to my father, and my father felt comfortable talking to him, always within the parameters of a Rebbe Talmud relationship. But there was this comfort and a rapport between the Rav and our father. After 2 years of a Palev Shir and 1 year of Dr. Belkin Shir, my father entered the Rav Shir in 1942 until he received Smicha in 1945. He went in for his oral bechina in front of
the Rav, Dr. Belkin, and Rashatskis, and he was promptly informed that it was May 8, 1945, VE day, the Bechiner's off. The Rav couldn't do it. So the Rav, at that time, my father and the Rav had a relationship, but it really blossomed over the years. After my father returned to New York after a short stint in Rabbonis, he davened in the Maria Shul. And a short time later, Rav Brutz, who was the Rav, moved to Eretz Yisrael. And the Shul was looking for a Rav to replace him. My father had the idea of approaching the Rav about perhaps he being the new Rav in the Shul. And with the go-ahead from the Balabatim, he approached the Rav, and the Rav agreed. And for a number of years, the Rav came in on Shabbos Mevorchim and on Shavuos. He and the Rebbetzin stayed in a hotel, and he was the Rav in the Maria Shul until sometime down the line, Rav Aaron took over for him. And that's when the Tuesday night cheer began, which went for over 30 years. Which became so famous. And again, my father and the Rav had this very special relationship. The Rav and the Rebbetzin used to eat at our house, I was told, but not for it. Sister remember that. I think on Shulis they eat it. And then later on, when my father became the president of the OU, it had been set down by Mo Feuerstein, over the show, that the Rav would be the posek in the Moreh Derech. And my father was delighted. And over the 6 years that he was president, he spoke to the Rav 2 to 3 times a week, every week. And they discussed policies on every level. Our father described to us that they didn't always agree. There were arguments. My father tried to convince him on certain things. And he saw he couldn't again. Acknowledging that it was a Rebbe Talmud, thought it was a Talmud. By the end of the conversation, whatever the Rav said went. But again, it was very, very comfortable. Later on, my father had the idea that perhaps there could be a nice rapport between the Rav and Nachum Golden, who was the chairman of the World Jewish Congress and the Memorial Foundation. I guess you could define him as a masculine, but he was an old Lipisha Jew. And my father introduced them to each other and they hit it off right away. And every year, there was a dinner in our home for my parents and Nachum Golden and the Rav. We were clearly not invited to it. I often, when I was in yeshiva, I used to drive the Rav down to our home. Again, I was not invited. But the dinner lasted for hours. Both of the gentlemen in their own way, not entertained each other, but they had this wonderful rapport. This dinner lasted 3 years. So the relationship between our father and the Rav, as I said, was unique. And it was something that when this idea was presented to us, we really couldn't refuse. The Torah of the Rav, the Torah of the current Rosh Yeshiva, we feel close to Rav Schechter. Obviously, we feel close to Rav Willig, same Lakivas here, and all the other Rosh Yeshiva. It's something which is very, very meaningful to us. And of course, our relationship to the Yeshiva. The father, as I mentioned, graduated long ago. After that, our brother-in-law Benji sat for 3 years of Rav Shir, and he received smicha. Is that 4 years? After that, my brother was in the Rav Shir for 3 years, and then he famously became the Rav's Gabbai. I lived in the Shir only for a year, but I discussed that the Rav was my son. So our relationship to Rav Soloveitchik, and obviously, all of us going to the yeshiva is something which is very, very special to us. And we feel privileged to participate with this sefer and with all of these svarim that will be coming out, the Ezra Sashem, with the idea, L'hadvil Torah L'hadvira, and we thank Yeshiva, we thank all the Rosh Yeshivas and the staff for everything they've done on behalf of all of our family. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much. Once again, thank you to all the classics for being here with us this evening. Thank you so much for the sponsor. For all those who are coming tonight, please see the Jordan Auerbach. I want to thank David Rubin and Commander Assistance in Clogging Up. You might as well like to please join us with some light refreshments. I enjoy the book sale downstairs and have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
It's an hour.